Welcome to the Veterans for Peace Radio Hour and podcast on Radio Free Nashville, 107.1 and 103.7, and streaming live at radiofreenashville.org.
And you know, all babies are born with PFAS, and all mothers' milk have PFAS. And we have found 40,000 parts per trillion of PFOS and PFOA in mothers' milk.
That was Pat Elder, and you will hear more from Pat about a danger that is probably not on many of our radars, but should be. But first, my name is Jim Wohlgemuth, and I'm here with fellow Vietnam veteran Harvey Bennett. We're members of Veterans for Peace, which is an international organization of military veterans and allies whose collective efforts are to build a culture of peace, humanity, equality, and justice. Just go to veteransforpeace.org. This radio show and podcast is on stations across the country, thanks to the Pacifica Radio Network. We're also on SoundCloud, Anchor Podcasts, Spotify, and your phone podcast app. Just search Veterans for Peace. The Veterans for Peace Radio Hour and Radio Free Nashville are supported in part by you, the listener, because it is you that keeps Radio Free Nashville going, and as a result, this radio show is then picked up by the Pacifica Radio Network so that we are heard across the country. So if you think this is important, just go to radiofreenashville.org and click on the donate button and keep Harvey and I on the air in every time zone. And if you support Veterans for Peace, go to veteransforpeace.org. We have a donate button there too. While the mainstream media, YouTube, Twitter, and other platforms are censoring voices of activism and dissent, we'll continue to share those voices like Pat Elder, who stand up against the establishment, who stand up against the military, industrial, congressional, media, corporate complex, who stand up for us, the global us. So this is our last show before Christmas Day. And what we normally do is remember the Christmas truce of 1914, but not this year. Just like subsequent Christmases during World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and Ukraine, and now in Israel, the people in charge, from Biden to Netanyahu, from Zelensky to Putin, and more Western leaders, people in charge say there will be no truce. There will be no ceasefire. And we know that most people want the killing to stop, no matter where it is. And so we're all just going to have to internalize the idea of peace on earth and goodwill to all people, and keep our spirits up as best we can until we can throw the warmongers out. So we're just going to have a regular show. And here's Pat Elder with something really irregular. Pat, first of all, the last time you were on the show, I think we were talking about military recruitment.
Yeah, we were. You know, a couple things happened. I was at a conference in Ramstein, Germany, you know, Kaiserslautern, a panel presentation on military contamination. And my thing at the time was the JROTC's use of lead in the classrooms. I thought, hell yeah, this is a great ticket, you know. Pat Hines spoke about burn pits. Yeah, this was 5 years ago. But then she mentioned about the AFFF, the firefighting foam. She said, this PFAS stuff, man, it doesn't break down. It's a big problem. We're going to be dealing with this forever. And that really got me. And then at the same time, I was trying to get a bill through the Maryland General Assembly, and the bill called for banning the use of lead ammunition in the state's high schools. There have been tests done that show, you know, when you shoot even the little pellets, you know, the 0.77 caliber pellets, they spew lead. And so, you know, they've done tests. They showed lead on top of cafeteria tables. And we thought, well, damn, that does not seem like good public policy. But we got 33 members of the House of Delegates in Maryland, all Democrats, to agree. But we couldn't get a hearing. The state's Democratic leadership saw it as anti-military. So that was it for me, man. I thought, look, I've tried. I did get a little, a little success on the ASVAB testing, trying to get mom and dad to have to sign off. But at that point, I made the transition to the PFAS and just started reading it and writing on it. And so I've probably written 300 or 400 articles now, and I have help, and I also have financial help. So I've become a little bit more sophisticated in my writing.
Well, before we get to actually the whole issue, what PFAS is, and where can people get a hold of all your articles that you've written?
Oh, I appreciate that. Militarypoisons.org, and then just go down to where it says in the news.
So that's
And
militarypoisons.org, and that's militarypoisons, all one word, dot
yep.
org.
Yeah, and then go down to in the news. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. It's highly scientific stuff, but it's written on a mid-high school level. My audience is mostly academics, people around the world, and regulators and legislators. I send out something about once every 1 or 2 weeks. I have 2,500 people, and I mean, it's about 80% read it. So that's the key. Like the last thing I put up on Facebook, I put it on 71 pages. And you probably see my stuff on Facebook every now and then. But hell, last time I got 14 likes and 2 shares. Plus, I've got 5,000 of my own friends. They shut us down, man. I mean, we are shut down. If you put cuddly kitty cats on there, they're going to pick it up. But if you put military poisons, you're screwed. So it's all about direct email. That's where the potential for change comes. I've been writing a little bit about Maryland just the last 2 weeks, but my focus has been Hawaii and Japan. I spent a year, a month and a half with Veterans for Peace in Japan. That's where change is happening, not in Maryland. It's just,
Happening in Hawaii, Pat?
they poisoned, tens of thousands of people with contaminated drinking water, and that pissed off enough people to get them to be skeptical about the intentions of the United States military.
Well, tell us, what are PFAS?
Well, they are per and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS. So they were discovered by accident in a DuPont chemical lab back in 1938 in New Jersey. They accidentally combined fluorine and carbon, and the two of them came together. They discovered that this one compound, at that time it was PTFE, the precursor to Teflon. And they went, damn, it puts out a fire better than anything, cleans grease better than anything. Like if you have, a rear axle bearing and you got to clean something, or if you got an engine part or a jet engine part, it'll clean it better than anything. And it'll repel water better than anything. So the military immediately realized its benefit. Come on. So it really got its go during the Manhattan Project, with the development of the Trinity bomb. They could not have developed the Trinity bomb without PFAS. It's a story that has just not been told as it should be. But nuclear weaponry, nuclear power to this day, and PFAS are inextricably linked. So that's an important point. After the war, stuff was used like in Scotch Guard. You spray it on your boots, you spray it on your couch, and that was just for the stain thing and for the water. But of course, it was used in firefighting foams. It kind of creates like a shaving cream foamy top to a fire. So, think about some of these like petroleum container fires. These are hot fires. And what you want to try to do, if you pour water into it, it doesn't really do much. But you pour this foam stuff on top of it, and it deprives the fire of oxygen. It kind of makes a big blanket and it snuffs it out. So it puts out a fire, and especially super hot petroleum and plastic fires better than anything. But 1970, 71, most naval and Air Force facilities, and most Army facilities as well, eventually, began to practice. They put it into the overhead suppression systems, in hangars. And hell, a 2-acre hangar, the say a half a dozen F-35s in it, can fill up with this carcinogenic foam in about 3 minutes, 11 feet high in three
Wow.
minutes. Teaspoon of the foam could poison a middle-sized city's drinking reservoir. That's how powerful this stuff is. But what they did is they created usually about 150 to 200-foot craters diameter, about a 1 to 3 feet deep, okay? And then they would pour, you know, JP5, JP6, the jet fuel in the crater. And then they'd have these guys that kind of look like, you know, Bill Murray with Ghostbusters with these guns, and they would pour the foam to test to see how quickly they could put it out in case there was a real fire of an F-35 or something else. But they would do it either biweekly or monthly for, since 1970. They just stopped doing it for practice the last year to 2 years, but the damage is done. And of course, the military uses PFAS in a whole bunch of applications, and that's unchecked. It's not anything anybody talks about. But as far as the contamination is concerned, virtually all surface waters are poisoned that are anywhere near military bases, and so is the groundwater. And of course, we know the groundwater kind of seeps out into the surface water. So if you've ever been hiking and you're hiking along, you know, a creek, you might see little streams of water kind of bubbling through into the creek. That's what I'm talking about here. That's loaded with PFAS anywhere near these military installations. But then the other issue is all the ways they use this stuff. Engine cleaning is a biggie. You're maintaining an F-35 engine. You take the engine apart, you bring it in. You can break it apart, put it into, you know, your machine shop, or you put it on a wash rack. You just squirt it clean. I mean, why use the trichloroethylene? Why use the old cleaning methods when you can use the best stuff in the world? For all of the foams, all of the waters, they're all rinsed out with hoses. They either went directly into outfalls, which would feed directly into surface waters, or it went to wastewater treatment plants. I mean, you know, they go through oil, water separators, then into the wastewater treatment plant, which is, it's not treated. In the wastewater treatment plant process, you either got a liquid or you have solid. And everything that comes from all of the drains, from all of the bases will go in, you know, if it doesn't go directly in the water, wastewater treatment plants. Well, the sludge is the solid matter. And the sludge, usually you'd have drying beds on the base. And those drying beds would be allowed to dry, and then it would be scooped up and trucked to agricultural fields nearby. So hell, all the agricultural produce from the fields is also contaminated with stuff. Stuff doesn't break down. Good it doesn't case. ever go away, and it can't get burned. You can't bury it. You can't burn it.
Yeah. Well, how do I know I got it?
Well, you get your blood test. I worked with the National Academies of Sciences last year, and we were a group of us successful in getting them to set parameters. So it's a science. If you have more than two parts per billion, nanograms per milligram, parts per billion in your blood, you know, they test for seven different compounds: PFOS, PFOA, PFHXS, PFHPE, PFNA, PFDA, and hell if I can remember the seventh one. If the total of those is greater than two parts per billion in your blood, then they'll say, check for testicular cancer, test for kidney cancer. If the levels are above 20, there's a huge host of tests that need to take place. So the National Academies of Sciences, this is a key component. The National Academies of Sciences, this is the top level of science in the United States. Their guide to physicians for PFAS management last year says, if you got a hunch that somebody has an occupational exposure, especially guys in the military, people in machine shops, people with engine cleaning, people with, you know, firefighters, et cetera, then you ought to test their blood. And if it's above two, do tests X, Y, and Z. If it's above 20, do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Do all kinds of tests. And then, you know, when you screen the guy and you find that the guy's got testicular cancer or liver cancer or kidney cancer, you might have a darn good idea why, but it's a screening mechanism. At the same time, the VA, always mindful of the bottom line, does not recommend blood testing for PFAS. So I've done a lot of lobbying. I stopped kind of doing it now. I work with the Environmental Working Group, and I've worked on my own even more so. But Congress is bought and paid for. So, the United States Senate's Environment and Public Works Committee, these guys, they take millions from the chemical industry. They won't be budged. So there's very little movement as far as this is concerned. So we have a log jam. You've got veterans all across the country, and we know how bad it is because different people around the country have started Facebook groups. James Michael Busey, up at Wurtsmith in Michigan, he started one, 2,000 people on that Facebook page. It's like, well, I've got testicular cancer. I was a firefighter. Can you help me out? Yeah, dude. It was caused from your exposure to PFAS. One after another after another. So a lot of really good data on that site, a lot of good files and unbelievable conversation. And it's all about claims. I mean, VA has been denying claims consistently for PFAS. There's another site, Fort Ord Cancer and Disease, Facebook page. This woman, Julie Akey, Akey, she came down with multiple myeloma, and she thought she was there at a language institute that's kind of close to Monterey in California. And she said, damn, I wonder if it was the time that I spent at Fort Ord in 1985 and 19 or 95 and 96. So she started a Facebook page. Just wanted to know if anybody else had multiple myeloma out there. She found 138 people in her neighborhood, half of them dead with multiple myeloma. And then she found other blood diseases, a ton of them. She's got 1,250 people on her database. They all were at Ord, and they're all sick as hell. And they think it's not just the water, but also the air. So you would have sludge drying beds. You would have trichloroethylene used. That's a killer too. Vinyl chloride is a killer as well. And so these are the chemicals too, that are part of the PACT Act. Over at Camp Lejeune, especially the vinyl chloride and the trichloroethylene and the tetrachloroethylene, the stuff you shouldn't be drinking. It's incredibly amazing. It manifests itself in different ways with different human beings and in different ways with women and men. But it's kind of cool. Last month, and I'm still shocked by this. I got an email from this guy who sent his VA claim with a link to one of my articles about that suggested that colon cancer could be caused by PFAS. And this guy had colon cancer, and then he just took some data that I gave him about how much PFAS has been found in the groundwater at Fort Ord today, and he got 100%. No one had ever been given a claim before, so you get a sense of what's going on here. And I'm small changing all of everything. I just mentioned that because it's like it blew me away. Like, really? There are people in the VA who see what's going on, man. I mean, I think the leaders of Veterans for Peace know what I'm about, but I traveled, with Veterans for Peace hat and shirt on in Japan for 6 weeks in September and October. I mean, we got press almost in every city we went to. It was remarkable. I think Hawaii and Japan, if you look back at all my articles, you see about half of them last year and a half or so have been about those two places. Change is possible. Not in Tennessee, dude. Sorry.
I just wonder, is NIH funding any kinds of research in terms of correlations and
Yeah, man, they are. I
clinical?
mean, and even the EPA has done excellent science. It's just a matter of enforcement. But if you go to PubChem, PubChem, immediately you're greeted with a search bar, and you just put PFOA. That's one type of PFAS. There's 15,000 varieties of PFAS. But if you put in PFOA at PubChem, you could cursor down to, health concerns, or you can really see all of the diseases, all of the birth problems, all of the, cancers that are affiliated with this one particular compound. Listen to this, for instance. The EPA has an interim advisory for PFOA, and this is probably the worst of all of them. PFOS is really bad too, the two of them. They don't even manufacture this stuff anymore. It's with us forever. So PFOA and the EPA says that you ought to keep this stuff under 0.004 parts per trillion in drinking water.
Parts per
that?
Trillion, not parts per million.
No,
parts per
not
trillion.
Million, not billion, but trillion. We have 435,000 parts per trillion in the groundwater in Maryland at Joint Base Andrews. Take 435,000 and divide it by 0.004. 108.75 million times over the EPA limit. So what it means is that the DOD dictates environmental policy in the United States of America. They are the 800-pound gorilla. They can do whatever they want. And so you got to see the cancer clusters, and you got to understand the correlation between all the sick people in the region and the PFAS. And in the meantime, I see, you know, it's the greatest people in the world, actually. You know, I'm part of No to NATO. I'm on the, you know, intercontinental hell, what's it called, the inner something advisory committee, okay? And, you know, World Beyond War, man, I worked with David Swanson for years. But they're on this climate change thing, like, you know, carbon use, military. And of course, I applaud their action. I'll never criticize anybody. I learned that 40 years ago as an organizer in D.C. If you don't like something, you abstain. Don't criticize. So that ain't it. I'm telling you, you know, I get emails every day, you know, from people that I say, hey, man, I just got diagnosed with liver disease. You know, I was at Fort Meade for 18 years. You think, you know, it might have anything to do with, I can go and find 38 different types of chemicals that were in the groundwater at Fort Meade, and then go to the guy and say, hey, man, you know, X, Y, and Z are in the groundwater at these concentrations, and they're known to cause your disease.
There it
this
is.
Is more compelling than going around the world and saying, well, the military's bad because of, you know, global warming. It's like, you know, global warming hell. I don't want to be misconstrued here. It's a problem. I mean, I live on Chesapeake Bay. The guy next door has lost 30 feet, you know, since 1972, right?
Wow.
And I can see it in the 15 years I've been here. So it's real. The waters are rising. The land is disappearing into the Chesapeake Bay. But it's chronic. If you look at what we see in Hawaii right now, people hate being poisoned by the military. They hate it. It's passion.
Mm-hmm.
And Veterans for Peace is the organization where this should be the most compelling, I think, issue.
Yeah.
But it's not, man. It's not. It's too complicated.
So do you think, well, it is complicated, but climate change is finally on people's radar, being part of the No Nukes group, nuclear Holocaust, nuclear annihilation is on people's radar.
It's huge.
Is PFAS just not on anybody's radar because we can't see it? It sneaks up on us.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, man. I want to back up a little bit on the global warming. It's compelling. It's the end of the freaking world, man. I get it. But in terms of organizing people, you know, I just spent 6 weeks in Japan. If you go to the Military Poisons website, you go up to the top and there's Japanese characters there. I've been writing, you know, and having my stuff translated into Japanese for 3 years now. So I didn't realize it, but I've got thousands of people over there. So everywhere we went, had people coming to hear me speak. There's a buzz in Japan right now. People are deeply upset. You know, my wife died of uterine cancer. You know, we've been drinking water right outside of Yokosuka. Or you know, Yokota. In the meantime, you show them the data from fish testing 20 years ago that the Japanese media never published that shows fish with millions of parts per trillion that people continue to eat. So just one more thing about Japan. Yokota Air Base, about 20 miles southwest of Tokyo. You know, it's just fantastic amounts of PFAS, tremendous air traffic in and out, and lots of burning and lots of usage of PFAS. Okay. But last year, they raised a bunch of money. These are activists like you and me, man. And they tested 700 people, tested their blood. And the average person of 700 had blood levels at 25 parts per billion, which is above what the National Academies of Sciences says, you got a problem. And they also traced the chemicals to Yokota Air Base and in the air, not just the drinking water. And of course, the fish that's draining into the sea, the PFAS drainage. So all these things, you know, are contaminating these people. And the response of the Japanese government is to be quiet. They're quiet, man. But the difference is here, when I blew the whistle first, I tested water here in Maryland 4 years ago. And I found 1,894 parts per trillion, mostly PFOS. And in the meantime, you know, EPA and others, ATSDR and others are saying the bioaccumulative properties of PFOS are such that it'll bioaccumulate in fish times 1,000 to 2,000. So if you got 10 parts per trillion in the water, you know, you might have 10,000 parts per trillion in the fish or more. Like Wordsmith, for instance, we had 10 million parts per trillion of PFAS. And scientists are telling us that pregnant women that are consuming, you know, more than one or two parts per trillion are actually threatening the development of their babies. I mean, it's that severe. So we have a huge problem. And when I blew the whistle here, and I had my results, and, you know, from Eurofins, paid $600, you know, sent them to the Baltimore Sun, sent them to the Washington Post, sent them to Southern Maryland News, sent them to the Annapolis newspapers. Nobody picked it up. One journal, it's called Bay Journal, which is kind of a lefty pro-environment type of magazine, picked up my story. And the guy interviewed the director of the Maryland Department of the Environment. And that guy said, well, you know, it's good for the citizen scientists to be concerned, but we question their methods. And, you know, if there's any PFAS in the creek, it probably came from a landfill or a firehouse, municipal landfill or municipal firehouse. Well, the closest firehouse is 6 miles away. The closest landfill, 11 miles away, nowhere near the water. Frickin' Navy base is 2,000 feet across deep salt water from my beach, and they use the stuff biweekly for 25 years. And the foam comes directly from that base almost daily. So my question then 4 years ago was, why is the state of Maryland covering for the Navy? Well, I knew why. The Navy dictates environmental policy in the state of Maryland. That's very clear to me and increasingly clear to more and more people. But nothing has changed. So we organized a group of people. We had 300 people in the library. So we organized a couple campaigns. One of them had to do with Piscataway Creek. So we tested the water of Piscataway Creek, which drains Joint Base Andrews, 8 miles south of Washington. Okay. You got this creek. And, you know, in Maryland, a creek can be a half mile wide and 20 feet deep salt water. So it leaves Andrews and turns tidal. So we tested the water where it comes out of Andrews and found 2,800 parts per trillion. And of that, almost half PFOS. So we knew you're going to have fish that's poisonous in the water. So we prompted the state of Maryland to do the same. And they tested the water and they found over 3,000 parts per trillion. They also tested fish. And we had a lot of letter writing, a lot of delegates, a lot of people advocating. And they tested fish. Listen to this, man. This is bonkers. They found 94,200 parts per trillion in the fillet of a largemouth bass. That is such a tremendous level.
And just because you don't live near a military base doesn't mean you're not in danger.
Well, that fish might just swim all the way up to Washington. He might swim all the way down here. Yeah. Not only that, but that's just Andrews. You got Dahlgren across the river. And you have the Indian Head Naval, you know, Weapons Center, and you got the Patuxent River Naval Air Test Center. You got all kinds of bases up and down the river. And they're all spewing out high levels of PFAS. But the point here is this is 94,200 parts per trillion of PFOS. The EPA says 0.02 divided by 0.02. So the EPA says 0.02 in drinking water. State of Maryland says 94,200 parts per trillion in the fish. And that is 4.7 million times over. So then, you know, I talked to Linda Birnbaum, who used to run the National Institute of Environmental Health. And she said one part per trillion, whether it's from water or from fish, is the same deal, does the same thing. So people are in the state of Maryland are free to eat this fish. They, you know, they put an advisory in effect and they said you could eat it three times a month. Nobody's paying attention to it anyway.
No.
You know, we need grown-ups here. So, yeah.
Well, Pat, is it all military generation or is...
No, tremendous amounts of PFAS are coming out of wastewater treatment plants, municipal wastewater treatment plants. If you go to the wastewater treatment plants, they discharge their waters into the Cumberland. And you can email me later about this, but I can show you what I'm talking about. All you got to do is get in a kayak. If you can't access the area, you know, by, you know, a walking trail or something like that, and take a sample of the water and see how many parts per trillion, especially of PFOS, there are. And then, you know, just keeping in mind bioaccumulation factors of up to 2,000 parts, you know, times for individual species of fish, you get a good idea how poisoned your fish are.
You're listening to our conversation with Pat Elder about the dangers of PFAS. Back to Pat.
There's a company called Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, and Thomas keeps track of manufacturers of PTFE. Remember in the beginning I was talking about PTFE?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's Teflon. And so there you have Teflon manufacturers that will also dump PFAS into the waters. You also have landfills. When somebody throws a couch away or a carpet or clothing, and it's saturated with PFAS, or they throw away a computer and all the wires are coated with stuff, it gets crushed by those giant bulldozers and the rains and the snow come, and it all leaches down into kind of like a big coffee pot. And we call that leachate at the bottom of the pile. That leachate usually is allowed to just drain into surface waters. Sometimes they'll have it lined up underneath and they try to get most of the leachate to get to the wastewater treatment plant, where they may treat it for heavy metals, but not for the PFAS, and it winds up into your surface waters. So your landfills with the leachate and your wastewater treatment plants with the liquid and solids, there's your biggest threat to human health where you are.
I live in Charleston, South Carolina. We're about 4 miles from the Air Force Base.
Oh, man.
And we live on the Ashley River.
I know the Ashley, man. I'll tell you, you know what? I found 3,000 parts per trillion of PFAS, mostly PFOS, draining right into the Ashley, buddy. And I wrote an article about it, wrote a couple of articles about it. And I was actually behind, you know, the current flurry of articles. And if you read them, they're state-supported propaganda. Yeah, man, you got fish with 700,000 parts per trillion, and they're saying, it's cool, don't worry, be happy, you can eat it.
People fish off the dock here.
There was a study back in 17, I think, that kind of told everybody that the, you know, Charleston Harbor, anyway, super contaminated with PFAS. But I was able to pinpoint, like, where, you know, the lion's share of it's coming right out of. It's actually, it's a Air National Guard, isn't it? You know, Charleston Air National Guard, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway.
C-17s.
Yeah, if you go... I wonder if you can Google military poisons Charleston. See, it's kind of cool that military poisons, because it was April 18th, 2022. Dangerous levels of PFAS found in a stream draining from runway at Joint Base Charleston, 3,000 parts per trillion. And I got a map here that shows exactly where it hits the Ashley, 4,000 feet away. They always put runways at high ground, fairly close to being able to drain off quickly. You got a big problem there. Read that article, okay? And then get back to me. We can cause trouble together. And then, you know, go to the
Post and Courier.
Post, yeah, there you go. You know, they botched it. You got to read that, man.
Doesn't surprise me.
Well, they botched the health impacts. Like one part per trillion, you're in trouble. And they're based, the state of South Carolina said, hey, y'all can still eat this fish.
Well, what
So
about is there shrimp? Those are my favorites.
I wouldn't eat it, buddy. I wouldn't eat the crab either. I wouldn't eat the oysters, any of it. You
Yeah.
gotta appreciate it. I mean, thing is, yeah, we're older. And we made it through this long. All right. You know, it's the young women who are pregnant, and it's the development of the fetus that is most scary. And then there's proclivity of people to have. I mean, look at your life, man. You had friends in their 40s that died of cancer. You didn't. They breathed the same air and ate the same food you did.
Pat, if it's in the environment, if it's hard to get rid of or almost impossible to get rid of, what the hell do we do?
Well,
That does.
as far as the wastewater treatment plants are concerned, and as far as the drinking water is concerned, we have solutions. It's known as granular activated carbon, GAC, granular activated carbon. And, you know, try to imagine an area the size of your living room, that cubic footage, and you filled it up with little carbon particles, and you took the polluted water from the wastewater treatment plant, and you pass it through the carbon filter, it'll come out the other end mostly clean. You do that process a couple times and you could pretty much eradicate PFAS. It's expensive, but you can do it and then dump the PFAS, I mean the what's remains into the water. Now most of our drinking water systems are being treated right now with granular activated carbon. And you should be able to go to Nashville's. You should be able to, you know, Google Nashville annual water report and then figure out what PFAS is in the water. And chances are it's going to be in the single or double digits. The EPA is saying for two of them to keep it under one. And then there's a couple others where it's a little higher than that. But for the vast majority, they're not regulated at all. And they're really not regulated anyway because it's just an advisory. So if Nashville just says screw you to the EPA, it's not a maximum contaminant level. There's no fines, there's no penalties or anything like that. Although most municipalities are, you know, following suit and filtering this out. So that's number one. As far as military bases and something like, you know, Charleston. It's a problem. I work with Commonweal in California, and we looked at a couple bases out there because California seems to be ahead of everybody. They just don't want to spend a whole lot of money, and it's going to take a lot of money to clean it up. But let's say you're dealing with contamination from the stream emptying from, you know, the air base in Charleston into the Ashley. That stream is probably only around 8 feet wide, 2 to 3 feet deep. It ain't much. You would have to build several concrete Olympic-sized swimming pools. You got to capture that water. You can't allow the water to go into the Ashley River anymore. And then you got to filter it with granular activated carbon. And then you know you have to send it back out. But that alone is going to be in the tens of millions of dollars just for little Charles. All across the country, we're talking about a bill in the many, many, many tens of billions of dollars or more. It's a problem, but I mean, you can do that. You can't incinerate the stuff anymore, so that's an even bigger issue. And that's the go-to. Y'all are you have facility. I can't remember the name of it right off the top of my head, but they do incineration for energy, burn household trash, and then they use the fire in order to generate electricity. So a lot of just regular old household trash is filled with PFAS, and so. Downstream of those incinerators, you have health impacts. It hits the grass and it hits the soil, hits the water, doesn't break down. Those incinerators don't get hot enough to destroy the PFAS. That's another problem. So we have the technology. You can burn it hotter, but it's going to cost a tremendous amount of money to do it. So that's another one. And then, of course, with your landfills, you need to monitor the stuff going into the landfills. You need to test it before going into the landfills. And then you have to build massive warehouses of concrete basements until the technology catches up with us and we can figure out what to do with the stuff.
Where is the normal household going to look around and see Okay, well, this bottle of hand sanitizer,
Yeah.
does it have PFAS in it?
Well, we've got states across the country right now that are passing legislation just for that. So you can go to this website called Safer States. And then there's another one called JD, like John David, Supra, Supra. And both of those sites list PFAS legislation pending and passed. It's pretty complex when you're dealing with 50 states. But basically, New England is ahead of everybody, and the South, is behind everybody. Surprise.
Surprise.
But yeah, that's a really good question, man. And of course, a few states have really, I think Maine done a little bit, Massachusetts done a little bit, banning products, basically saying, sorry, cosmetics, got people, and no more. Hand sanitizers and paper towels and things like that, you have to reproduce them so that they don't have PFAS in
Yeah, so you were
them.
telling us that the people in Hawaii and Japan, the public, I think, if I heard you right, they're really working hard to do to make a difference. What are they doing there?
Well, first, there's a different mindset, okay? Because here, when I look at the chat rooms, first of all, I can't get through the press. It's almost impossible to break on through to the other side, as Jim Morrison said. So
I
that's a big
remember.
problem. Right. Whereas in both Hawaii and Japan, you've got members of mainstream for-profit media running stories. Now, Hawaii is understandable because so many thousands of people have been sickened by Red Hill. And that is when a huge pipe carrying AFFF with PFAS burst and caused the draining of petroleum in directly into the water that people were drinking. And the Navy told everybody it was fine, but you got thousands of people that have been, sick. 93,000 people drank this water. And it's just not being picked up so much by the mainstream media, but it's a big deal in Hawaii. So when you have that mindset, then people are starting to pay attention to obscure items like for instance, the Hawaii Department of Health relaxing their environmental action levels, EALs, for PFAS, saying, oh, well, you can have this much in your water now, things like that. More and more, there are Zoom calls and meetings. Sierra Club's been great. There's a woman, Christina Jedra, who writes for Civil Beat magazine. She sees it as clearly as anyone and has been calling them out. And then Hawaii News Now has been doing unbelievable studies and reports. And the Hawaiian public is starting to go, Jesus, maybe we don't need the Navy here anymore. Maybe we ought to scale it back a little bit. So there's indignation. With Japan, we took them by storm. We're going to go back. But the Japanese press addressed PFAS in firefighting foams at military bases, never addressed Panasonic or Toyota or Mazda or, industrial. They also only addressed PFAS in drinking water. They never mentioned fish, which we know. I should have mentioned it right from the very beginning, but the European Food Safety Authority says that about 86% of the PFAS in our bodies is from fish. The dust and air may be second. Water is the third. And chances are, being where you are in the inner city in Nashville, your water hardly doesn't have any in it at all. It might be fourth or fifth or sixth down the line, but fish is one. And then a lot of the, eggs and milk and meat, because these animals are eating from fields that are contaminated with sludge. And from, we've got rain with 1,000 parts per trillion. And so incinerators will impact that. So Japan, they were never able to put two and two together. So there were a lot of really frustrated academics, man. So you take a guy like me, I can't even manage to get them at St. Mary's College of Maryland, a state college. I live in the college town, to have me to speak. I spoke at 16 cities in Japan. I was introduced by three college presidents, just saying, hey, this guy has a revolutionary message about PFAS contamination.
Right.
And so I addressed also how the military uses it in a host of applications, and they're just blown away.
Are the people of Hawaii suing
They're
that?
suing through Earth Justice. They're working with Sierra Club. They are attending regular meetings. They have organized themselves against the Navy. They are having regular meetings with the Navy. They're really getting an attitude about the EPA. They are organizing against their own health department, for goodness sake. So there is a lot of activism right now in Hawaii. And it is, they've gotten to the point where they do not trust the Navy. If you go onto Facebook and you go to, JBBH, Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam, that Facebook page, or the Red Hill Warriors Facebook page, lots going through Facebook. But what's happened, and we see it in Hawaii, when the thing first hit, people would get posts and get 100 hits or, all these shares and likes and everything, but that's been clamped down since. But still, there's indignation.
I was just going to ask about saltwater fish.
Well, not as bad. Close to the shore they can be, and you got those, I can never remember the name of that kind of species where they go into fresh water and then come back to the salt. And then there's others that'll spawn in the salt and go back to the fresh, vice versa. So if you have fish that behave that way, they can be loaded. Fish that are close to the shore that come in and out of the bays, like, if you're a fish in Charleston Harbor, you head out into, you're in trouble, man. But when you go further out, it's less and less. And we've noticed that when we test waters. So I would bet, like, Ashley River, where it's taking the waters from Charleston, you got 3,000 parts per trillion, but you get a couple miles, out to sea, from Charleston, then you're not going to see more than just a few parts per trillion. You'll still have fish with PFAS, but lower levels. So it dissipates. But something else needs to be mentioned. Some PFAS falls to the bottom. Remember, there's 15,000 different varieties of PFAS, and some fish, and of course, shellfish and crabs, will pick that PFAS up as well. So it's just very complex. So you have different species that will pick up different chemicals. So when you have several thousand species of fish, and you got several thousand compounds, and the compounds are at different parts in the water. It's fantastically complex. So you could still have super high levels. Just like in Maine, they said there's no PFAS in the lobsters. Don't worry, be happy. But tests have found 20,000 parts per trillion of PFAS in lobsters. So that's a crawler out there in the sea. So clams too. Or no, mussels. 10,000 in mussels. So, I mean, I tested sea bass here. I'm just a salt water, And we found 23,000 parts per trillion in the fish. And, it's not just, the freshwater fish, saltwater as well, just lower levels generally. That's all.
So is this one of those things where we ask people to call their congressperson?
I don't think there's anything to that, man. It's not a federal thing. I mean, it's up to the individual states. I wouldn't spend much time on it in Tennessee. I'm not going to spend much time on it in Maryland. I don't mean to be a bummer, but it's just very, very, very slow. I mean, you can go to, and I'll mention this again. I wouldn't, pursue the military end at all. You'd just lose there. But if you go to, as I mentioned, JD Supra or Safer States, and you look up Tennessee, you can see four or five bills that are pending in the Tennessee legislature right now. And probably one might have to do with, there's three of them. You
Yes,
looking at
three.
it?
Yeah, I got it up right now.
Yeah, what are they? Tell me. I can fill you in on what they're
Okay, let's
doing.
see. There is
Wastewater. No.
HB 50550 requires producers to submit and implement a producer responsibility plan, prohibits the sale and distribution of any packaging that includes PFAS, styrene, lead compounds, cadmium,
Yeah,
mercury,
good.
hexavalent, and a variety of other chemicals.
Well, that's
So,
good, but it's still it. I mean, is it mandatory? What are the fines? And this is something where they're saying, hey, we'll leave it up to the chemical companies and the manufacturers. Is that
yeah,
what they're doing?
for pathways to safer solutions, it's phasing out of the bad. So
Right. Well, I
I
mean,
worry about the word phasing.
yeah, well, and it would be a little stronger, you know, if they said, well, you got a $10,000 fine for every item that, you know, just penalties, you know, maximum contaminant levels or, you know,
Yeah.
levels in consumer goods. Or, you know, set up a part of the state government that monitors these things and penalizes these companies. Give me another one.
Okay, this is Senate bill. Maybe this is a companion.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe this is just requires producers to submit and implement producer responsibility plan, prohibits the sale and distribution of packaging that includes da 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 all of
Yeah,
those chemicals.
packaging, you know, it's you know, there's more concern on the packaging rather than the fish that the packaging wraps up, or the hamburger, or the beef, or the chicken.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it's about the food. And so packaging, fine, but you're talking about tiny levels of PFAS. Same with the cosmetics. It's not so much at that stage, but sooner or later you throw these things away, and then it becomes a question of either incineration or landfilling. It doesn't break down. So that's where this legislation is going to be helpful. Not so much in, you know, your dermal contact or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that all the legislation you
That's
got?
it. That's it.
Well, damn, that's one of the worst in the country.
Charles, South Carolina is probably worse.
Oh yeah, well, it probably is. Although you never know. You got Nikki Haley, things could really, you know, things could really get bad in a
Yeah,
hurry.
Jim Scott too.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that guy. Well,
Not to mention.
you need to test. That's where Tennessee really needs to work. So you start with your wastewater treatment plants, and you start with the leachate from your power plants, and you start with, you know, downwind from your incinerators. Those three places are really important to beginning to get an idea of how bad it is, you
Pat,
know.
in all
So
your studies, have you run across, saw something over the last year where the sperm count of young males today is significantly less than sperm count of young males when the three of us were young?
Right.
And has that related to, or is there any connection to PFAS there, you think?
Absolutely. I mean, we know that to be true. You know, there's a direct correlation. Same with testicular cancer.
Yeah. Is it as bad as PFAS is a threat to humanity? Just like the climate, just like nuclear Armageddon.
Yeah.
Is it
Yeah.
a threat to
Yeah.
humanity?
I think, you know, some writers have said that it's an existential threat to humanity, and that's because of its impact on the unborn. And it is just overwhelming. Sure, it's killing people, but it's not killing enough people to snuff out humanity. It can change humanity. Okay. And so we're looking at the linkages to attention deficit disorder, attention hyperactive disorder, you know, childhood ear infections, childhood you know, lung infections, childhood resistance to immunities, their shots. When you give them their shots for different diseases, you know, the PFAS that's already in their bodies. And you know, all babies are born with PFAS, and all mothers' milk have PFAS. And we have found 40,000 parts per trillion of PFOS and PFOA in mother's milk, far over what the EPA is talking about. Yeah, it's all of those things. non-descended testicles, problems with liver function early on, but that's where it's most scary. That's where we need to regulate it. We need to be very mindful of what pregnant women put into their bodies, man.
You didn't mention autism, but I imagine that would
The
a
linkage
spike.
is not that strong. I would have mentioned it. I mean,
Yeah.
it's there. There's some people that are claiming that it's fairly strong, but then others are saying not strong enough. I don't typically mention it because I don't, but what I mentioned is on the mark.
And so a strong connection with
Ear
ADHD.
infections and chest infections
Yeah.
and just lowers the immunity. I mean, it's an endocrine disruptor.
Right.
So your thyroid is impacted, which means your body's ability to fight all kinds of disease are impacted. On that note, I'm gonna
Are
go
you
out and
experiencing?
rake leaves, man.
You are?
I got a good thing going on. I rake little piles, and like this is an acre. I'll get it done by mid-January with an hour or two a day.
Thanks so much for sharing your time. I know you're busy.
No problem.
That was Pat Elder with a warning for us all. And to keep up with Pat and all he's trying to do, remember militarypoisons.org. Militarypoisons.org. And don't forget the other websites that he mentioned, including Safer States. Go check out your state. See what they're doing with regard to PFAS. So there it is, our last show before Christmas Day. And so we wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season, no matter how you celebrate it, and even if you don't celebrate it. And with that, here's John Lennon.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas. So happy.